Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, fellow Starbeams. I'm Hercules Invictus of the Olympian Arcanate. Welcome to Hercules and the Space Gods, part of my ongoing Olympian mission to help us better understand, interact with, and attune ourselves to the benevolent creative powers that shaped us in the dawn of time and guide us still. Tonight, I'm proud to introduce Michael's Cosmic Mission with Gerald T. Farley. I'm looking forward to participating in this discussion. And now, without further ado, I welcome Gerald. Greetings, Gerald. Welcome and thank you for being here.
Greetings, Hercules. Thank you so much. I feel very welcome. And as I was discussing with Diane and I were discussing together, just a few minutes ago. This is so exciting now simply because it's a brand new world. We're actually moving into what you just mentioned has been available to us through the ages, and we haven't been able to appreciate it or collect on it or live it and experience it for a lot of different reasons. And that's all changing. And I'm very, very proud to bring forth this message from the Celestials about Christ Michael Schools, the Quantum Healing Centers, the Offices of Peace, and the community gardens, all surrounded by community that is all absolutely free to everyone. Every aspect of it, the food, the healing, everything. So with that, what I look forward to now is continuing what we talked about last month and bringing forth the wisdom of Machaventa Melchizedek and the Melchizedek Corps of Teachers and Guides, who gave this project to us, which is really the same kind of project, and they call it social sustainability. And even though a lot of us on our planet have started to utilize that term, sustainability, in a lot of ways over the past several decades, the idea of social sustainability, as we'll be able to glean from this message, has been around for millions of years with older, much more technologically advanced and spiritually advanced civilizations. So here we go. Welcome to a new world.
Anything anyone wants to say at this point. Right. We were just talking that it won't be very long. That's what you were saying. And, you know, we've got Pluto going in Aquarius on March 24th, 2023. And that's my date, boy, when things are really going to blow up to be more prosperous, and we'll really know the Celestials are really working with us.
This will be on our planet before then. And so it will be the crowning
yes.
glory.
The
of
crowning
all of it.
Glory of our whole evolution, of our whole time on this planet.
As I'm told, the funding for these projects, which already exists on our planet, will come forth in trillions and quadrillions, all precious metal-based and all under the quantum computer, which every single asset is completely open source, and nobody can hack it.
That sounds very good.
Yeah.
That's good. That's very important.
A And please, I'll pause after each paragraph if either you, Diane, or Hercules have any comments or questions. Please feel free. Welcome
you.
To a new world. You're welcome.
Yeah, so thank you. Thank you so much. What we're trying to do, the garden thing, we just went out and bought 4 more hibiscus and some more azalea, and we're got a lot of topsoil. We're really starting to try and make our own home a part of this beautiful garden complex that you want to create.
That's beautiful, because that's exactly where we're going. There won't, at some point, sooner than we think, there won't be lawns to mow. There'll be gardens.
Oh, there's no lawn in my property. I've got 7,000 square feet, and there's not an inch grass. It's all plants and areas to walk and to sit and to enjoy the presence of God. And of course, the temple is in our backyard, and there is one in the front too.
Yes, having been there, it's very beautiful, and it feels like heaven. So to all of us students on the path who desire to exemplify love, compassion, and empathy, and those are the three main components that fuel this simple program of social sustainability, love, compassion, and empathy, who desire to serve our brothers and sisters on this world in selfless service. We are invited to collectively and connectedly gather with those who honor and fully respect these unique gifts. There is much to be done, and we are calling on a new generation of evolving seekers, including the Radiant Star Children, the Rainbow Children, the Crystal Children, the Indigo Children, who are coming in from places within the timeline and multiverse that has been way beyond where we are, and they're so experienced that they'll come in with this knowing. It's beautiful to watch because they're coming in now. So the new generation of evolving seekers and innovators to abide in this collective and connected endeavor. And through our abiding love, compassion, and empathy, we will become like a river of living water that will flow into the heart minds of many others who are also searching in the dark and thirsting for this living water. The time is now for those who hear this call to gather around and come together in this sustainable purpose for a life of equality of all for all. Quality of life equal for everyone, and equal educational and growth opportunities for each and every one of us, which means free education all the way around. So that's what Michael's Schools will be offering. We knock at the door of your heart minds, waiting for you to open the door, to know love like you have never known it, to see light like you have never seen it, to know truths that you've never pondered, to see beauty in all Creator's children, the light of life that indwells all.
You're trying to actualize this. These aren't just words. You've actually taken steps to bring this into manifestation.
For longer than I care to that I care to say. It will date me, but decades, yes. And there's been a lot of help. Michael and Diane, people everywhere want this, Hercules. And they know more and more that we all deserve it.
Gerald, you know, I hadn't really talked to you about this before, but are you talking about general education also, or are you talking about, I thought it was just going to be more of a spiritual study group type of thing, but are you talking about free education for all in general education also?
Yes, and that will include a huge body of work that's already extant, and a lot of it comes from Montessori and Waldorf schools, Rudolf Steiner's schools, and also a lot from homeschooling techniques that are being developed now. There's already a small school started called the Rainbow Academy in Southern Oregon that has 20 students, all of whom are being homeschooled. So it's here, and it will include everything through PhD education and beyond, postdoctoral work in all the sciences, everything that is going to be presented to us that we don't even have a scintilla of knowledge about at this point.
Yeah, I just wondered because, you know, Michael has been with the Montessori schools for 25 years, you know, he was. And, you know, Elizabeth Clare Prophet, she started the Montessori school in her area in Wyoming also. So, you know, we're big on all of this.
Well, my children went to both Montessori and Waldorf.
Okay.
I hear what you're saying.
Yes. It's all very important.
Right. So those who have... Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that, you know, I've always felt in my life that education was the most important thing, and I made sure my children, my two boys, Dean and Dawn, Dawn has a PhD, and Dean, of course, has his master's, and has taught in a college for the last 25 years also, my son Dean.
And the key here, Diane, will be the family.
Yes, it's important.
The moms and dads are going to be an integral part of all of this education and schooling.
It's so important.
It will be a learning
experience. I just can't think of anything more important, hardly, than education for the young, because my uncle, Donald Wilson, he was also the president of the Coastal Mission Commission in Long Beach, and he was a professor at USC, and he traveled all over the world for President Carter. And he always instilled that in me and my family, how important it was to accelerate your education and value it for your children.
You'll be happy to know, as will all of us, that the Melchizedek teachers and guides fully agree with him.
And I think you said you were involved with USC also.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes. I'm a graduate of the USC Master's Program in Public Administration.
Yes, my uncle was also. But he was a teacher there, too, in psychology.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Wow. So those who have this yearning to be the new co-facilitators of evolutionary progress, we ask you to carefully consider entering a new human collective to lay your foundation and begin the building of a new world in your heart-mind-aware consciousness that is aligned with the universal will. It is in this sustainable world that the spirit of truth will abide, and so will we all be guided to our learning experience in representing universal truth in selfless service on the human physical plane of existence. We will thereby co-create. So it's a brand new ball game, and it's a wonderful opportunity for a learning experience, even for those who have had a lot of studies behind us. It'll all be brand new, too.
Mm-hmm. The spirit of truth. Now, that's really so important in the Rancher book, too. How important. You know, Gabriel is a facilitator of truth in the Rancher book. But, you know, I really got into truth as a 5-year-old. I don't know if I ever told you, but I got really interested in Egyptian studies. They actually gave that to us in kindergarten and first grade and on up, and I found a picture of Akhenaten, who is also mentioned in the Arantia book, who was King Tut's not real father. But and I had done you saw it. I showed you the picture, the painting
yeah.
I did of Akhenaten, and he is pictured as a sphinx with the Akhenaten's head, and in his hands he holds the spirit of truth, and that is the symbol Maat. Is the spirit of truth. So I really, just as a very, very tiny child, started thinking about that spirit of truth that Akhenaten held in his hands, Ma'at, truth.
What you came in to do, and thank you so much for relating all of this, Diane. It's
thank
so
you.
Very important. So this calling is extended to all, but only those who stand ready with an opened heart, mind, consciousness. Those who desire above all to join with us in the mission of the reclamation of this world, our beloved planet, Gaia, in sustainability may do so. We follow these mandates, which are the basic foundation for our proposal. All of our brethren who are open and willing to experience these truths can freely participate in this plan.
And
we are
so
hereby
what are you going to do, Gerald, about the truth part? Are you going to participate in especially that part, or what part are you really focusing on?
Well, the bottom line for me is that truth is what God, our Creator Source is, and the alignment with Creator Source will be of the utmost import in all the spiritual and even a lot of the what seems to be just the human aspect of education, if you will, that's presented. The bottom line will be truth and love and alignment with the will of Creator Source.
Well, you know, that's what the religion of love, a worldwide religion of love is.
Isn't that a coincidence?
That's what you said.
That's
what
here
you
we
said.
Are
that's
together
it.
Of all, both of those, yes. So we are hereby making our sincere intentions known through this proposal. The humans of our world no longer have need for human prophets or even human teachers, except those who are completely aware that what they are sharing with their human brethren is also their own learning journey and experience as students as well. That is so important. And that's who God's teachers are, especially the ones who choose to go on as advanced teachers of truth.
Yes, yes. Last week, you know, I brought out the study of Gabriel. I was saying that he had been Socrates, searching for truth and giving it to others, and Dionysus incarnating as Diogenes, searching for a truthful man. And so, like I say, ever since I was a little girl, this idea of truth has permeated my everything I've done.
Yes. And you know what's so beautiful about the whole thing is we will find so many more truthful humans as our brethren as we go along, because the shift in energy won't allow any to be here who are not in truth. So all we human mortal creatures have need of is available to us here and now.
Of course. And truth is out there all the time. I mean, it's on that upper level that you can reach. Every single thing that has ever been done on the earth is in that beautiful university that's just above us, and we can reach it. I mean, it is possible to draw forth from that truth university, that level above us. I mean, every person can have access to that, to the truth of every single thing that's been done on this planet and on other planets.
Absolutely.
The universal mind.
I want to tag on to that with Diane is also that truth, Creator's truth, is only available now in each and every present moment. Not in the past, not in thinking about the future, now. And that's why it's so important for us to stay in the present moment. Because that's truth. That's where truth lies, if that makes any sense.
I totally am with you on staying in the present moment. That is very important. Yes, I think that is one of the hardest things for people to do.
You're right.
But they have to learn it. I think meditating helps you.
And that's a beautiful take on what Jesus presented to us in his Course in Miracles, which is a course in unlearning all of the bad habits that our human egoist persona have presented us and keeps trying to take us out of the present, distract us, to take us out of the present moment. Either with future thoughts or what are we going to plan for tomorrow kind of thing. And I'm not saying that's wrong. It's simply human. And it takes us out of the present. And the easiest way to stay for me in the present is simply to be in nature.
Oh, that is beautiful. I know I was just reading an article yesterday that was saying, you know, when people are worrying about everything going on right now, and people are, they're very concerned, that you have to ask yourself, how are you at this very moment? Do you have enough to eat? Are you warm? Do you have enough clothes? Do you have a shelter, a home? You know, if you are imperfect situation at this moment, then that I think is what you're trying to say a little bit, to try
that's
and stay in the present moment,
right.
And that way
absolutely.
Maybe we won't worry so much about the future.
Well, this is Abraham Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
Sure. And
everything you mentioned is a simple need that will be provided to everyone on the planet through programs like this, and especially this one, which will go worldwide eventually. So it's fulfilling those needs, and that's the reason for the quantum healing centers, the community gardens, and the offices of peace, which will enable young people especially, but of any age, to come in and talk about what they would like to see in regard to how we can bring, how they can see us themselves bringing peace to our community, to their community. And perhaps we can assist them not just with mentoring, but also with funding for those kinds of things. So that's what the Office of Peace, that's one of the things it's about. The other is that it's actually the administrative nerve center for everything, all of the hotlines for people who aren't feeling safe or need some of their basic needs fulfilled can come, can call, and we'll bring them to us because we'll have places where they can stay, where they're perfectly safe, either with families or with other individual people. But that's the whole idea, is
sure.
to fulfill everyone's need, especially for safety and security.
Yes, Maitreya, when he came to us in March 20th, 2017, and said that he was beginning a 50-year magisterial mission to bring in social programs and to bring in all of the things that you are trying to bring about at this time, very shortly.
I want you to know something. I have a T-shirt that says, just do it.
Just
do it. I don't try it. We are going to do this, all of us.
You must be celebrated because not very many people are thinking that way right now. So this is the word, though, that we need. We need your word right now rather than worrying, as I was talking about and so forth. We need your word of optimism that these things will come to pass and that things will be better.
So let's get into the bare bones idea of social sustainability and what that means according to Machavento Melchizedek and the Melchizedek Corps of Teachers and Guides. The three primary, and it's simple, believe me, it's so simple, that's how I know that it's creator, it comes straight from creator's truth, because this is what a state of being that is extant on every civilization that is way ahead of us. The same thing. So the three primary values of sustainability from which all others are derived are first, the value of life. Life is precious to our Creator. Each and every individual life is most highly valued beyond words by our Creator. We must respect the life of every other individual and also every other life form as being of equal value, which leads to the second value, which is equality of every child, man and woman on the planet, and the recognition of that by everyone, because that is the norm throughout the divine kingdom and all of the multiverse and every timeline and dimension within the omniverse. Equality of everyone is paramount in the entire
I just wanted to mention before we go on that Michael remembered that Pope John Paul II had written a you said it was 80 pages, didn't you, Michael?
Yeah, it's the it was the document that he wrote. It was an encyclical. It was his 11th encyclical. And hi, Gerald, by the way.
Hi, Michael.
Hey there. Yeah, his 11th encyclical, and in it, he coins the phrase a culture of death, and he says that we need to move away from a culture of death, talking about abortion, talking about euthanasia, and talking about capital punishment, that those are, you know, those are on God's time. You know, when people go, God will decide, not the people will decide. It was basically what he was saying. And he was saying that if we don't stop this, then we will, our moral depravity will be so low that we will be living as brutes, basically, living a brutal type of life and morality. Yeah, so I thought that was very good.
As we have been. Thank you, mm-hmm. Michael. That's very true. And a lot of it can change and pivot within our own mind when we begin to realize that we're not a body, that we're souls, and the soul never dies.
Well, you know, that I just want to bring up one second, too, because it was Socrates that based his philosophy of truth on that we do have the soul, and you have to include that, or you really don't have truth or the value of life.
Absolutely, and that's when death comes into the picture, when we don't recognize that we're really souls, soul children on a human journey.
How can we change society, or how can we guide society to a place where society will take care of its constituents or citizens or residents or, you know, the people who belong to that society, whatever they're called? Because what happens now is that many institutions exist because people find themselves without choice or you know, facing undue hardship in particular situations. And if these situations were remedied, people might not have to make some of the choices that they make in terms of the conditions that were mentioned by Michael. So how can we create a better world in here and now so that, you know, basically people can make more life-affirming choices?
I think what you mentioned is well taken, Hercules. It's a good point, and really comes down to choice. And choice will be a lot easier when all our needs are met, and we won't have to make some of the choices that we believe or perceive that we have to make any longer. So it's not going to happen overnight, and it's not going to happen, but we, you know, maybe even within a couple of generations, but eventually we're going to get to the point where we realize that we always have a choice.
Gerald, I just wanted to mention, you know, Hercules was saying, how can we do something to help people to create this new situation? Benjamin Krim was someone that tried, like you're trying, under Maitreya. You know, he tried to create the SHARE organization. In other words, for to put out the idea that we need to share more of what we have with those who don't have as much, but not just money, but all of our resources.
I'm glad we both studied him. I studied him for about a year and a half with pretty much 24/7 just to inundate myself in his teachings. Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Good point.
You know, and as Maitreya, according to Benjamin Krim, Maitreya is, you know, one of those avatars, one of those world teachers, one of those Christs, you know, that will come. And, you know, he'll institute new policies and he'll help humanity get to a more altruistic place. And it's the same with Maitreya Great Tao. It's interesting how similar it is, because in Maitreya Great Tao, of which Diane and I are members, the focus is Maitreya as the new world teacher, as the new Buddha who will come to create a paradise on earth, almost like an Aquarian age where everyone shares, everyone wants to share, everyone helps each other, you know, gain the basics, the basic needs like food, shelter, housing, clothing, love, to make this place a paradise on earth. So I think the celestials are involved, not just us.
Absolutely.
And it's a partnership.
And you well know that you and Diane and I share the affirmations that came to us from Lord Maitreya and Lord Saint Germain.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
Life Carrier Orion.
Yeah.
And those affirmations are another huge aspect of this whole Christ Michael's school, especially the spiritual part of it, will be able in the time to come to literally, especially with the young ones who are coming in, to be able to, through these affirmations, travel anywhere on this planet and literally with the cosmic flame of cosmic love, of cosmic fire, of cosmic authority, which brings us everything that comes into from universal substance into material being. And it's based on the teachings of the masters of the Far East, Babaji as well. That's what they did. And that's where we're going, too. That's a huge part of this. So thank you for bringing that up, Michael.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
When we think of others in relationship to ourselves, if we can begin to think in terms of absolute equality, we are aligned with our Father's truth. There's that term again. When we begin to recognize this, we think in terms of emotional wholeheartedness toward our brethren, along with and as well as our intellectual and socially conscious relationship to them across all perceived social, economic, leadership areas of human existence. And the term leadership is one I love because today's leaders, the emerging leaders, are the ones who are bringing forth the leaders in everyone that they meet. That's what a leader is today.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the difference.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so, everyone to develop their own leadership abilities.
Absolutely. We all came in with unique gifts. And the true leader will find a way to bring those gifts to the fore and make use of them.
Mm-hmm.
Equality helps us derive so many other values, beliefs, and behaviors which support our entire universe as well as our own planet. Now, I just want to say at this point that Machaventa Melchizedek and the Melchizedek Corps of Teachers and Guides are steering us toward is cosmic civilization.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone on our beloved planet becomes a cosmic citizen rather than just a planetary citizen.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes all aspects of the galactic arena.
Yeah, you know, that's what I like about the Urantia book, Gerald, is that it helps us to understand the cosmic structure, the cosmic levels, the cosmic hierarchy, so that we can see ourselves within that context. You know, that we are a cosmic citizen. You know, we're a universal citizen. And I like the idea of the supreme being too, that we seem individual, but we're also a collective within that, within the cosmic sphere. and that we help each other in our evolution, and each person's effort helps the group, you know. So we are cosmic citizens, but we're also striving together and helping each other too. And I really like that about the Urantia book, and I would hope, and one of our aims, just like we've discussed with Hercules many times, is to help others reacquaint themselves with the gods. You know what I mean? So that we're not just on this planet as humans struggling out of the primordial soup or the dirt, but that we're in a larger context. You know, it's a big universe.
Gerald, I just wondered if I could let the readers and listeners, because I know a lot of this is read too, know that Machaventa, Melchizedek, is also called Hyperion in the Greek. And he will be the one who will be the planetary sovereign of our planet starting March 24th, 2023. So this Melchizedek that we also read in the Bible, and also the Melchizedek core that came from Venus, our planetary headquarters of our solar system, he is very important now to bring about all of this that you're talking about. Because Hyperion, this is not very far, March 24th, 2023. He is very active right now, just as is Maitreya.
Right. And we can feel it. We know it.
Yeah.
We know it upon us right now. So that's well said by both of you. Michael and Diane, that's beautiful. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
We can aspire to open-ended realms of development because of the third value, which is the growth for all who will seek it in their human sojourn. Growth is vital and paramount to ascension to paradise. With equal growth opportunities, our children can become responsible, compassionate, empathic, and loving adults in their societies. These three values are the hinge pins of all other values that develop. Three core requirements of social sustainability. To repeat, quality of life of all, for all. Number two, absolute equality of every child, man and woman. And three, equal growth and educational opportunity for all who seek it. The three core emotional factors we engage to bring this about are love, compassion, and empathy. Now, how easy is that?
That's beautiful. Thank you, Gerald.
One more
That's
thing.
Beautiful.
And then all of this is surrounded and encompassed by the seventh value, the seventh tenet, if you will, the great circle of life, with full and complete respect for all life forms on, in, and around our beloved Gaia and throughout our super universes and all of creation.
Well, see, that was another aspect of one of the answer that I was thinking of when Hercules put forth that question. You know, what can we do? What can we do to help? And going back to the Pope John Paul II's encyclical regarding the culture of death, that I think there's another component here that we need to think about is eradicating fear from our experience. And,
oh, boy. You just took on the mountain.
So when these life forms, see, the animals and even the trees, but the animals, they have a fairly complex consciousness and cognitive life, and they have relationships, and they think, and they problem solve, and they know things, they feel things too. So they know they know that they're going to be killed. They also know, you know, because they have that in their experience, in their collective memory too, and individual memory, that they know that something bad is going to happen to them. And that spreads fear. That spreads fear amongst the animal population. And that spills out in many ways, according to, you know, scientists and scientific studies of how we ingest that fear when we eat meat. But
exactly.
and of course, you know, the unborn children, they've done studies where they will cower, or they will know that something bad is going to be happening to them. So I think in that way, we try to promote vegetarianism and respect for all life, respect for the animal kingdom, so that there's less fear, you know, and we can be more free. And of course, there's fear in other ways, but that's a big one for us, the vegetarianism.
Right. Yeah, fear is an egoic construct, period. It does not exist in the celestial realms. It does not exist in the Christ within us. It's false evidence appearing real, but only to the ego.
Yeah, so we want to eradicate or help humanity overcome abortion clinics and the slaughterhouses, and we think that if that were to be a global practice of where we eradicate those things, that the world would definitely be a better place, less fear, less killing. You know what I mean?
I read somewhere where the animals actually send those fearful emotions into the bloodstream, that their bloodstream. I don't quite understand how that works. Do you know anything about that?
It's like adrenaline.
Yes.
If you know about the child trafficking, and we don't need to go there. That's what's induced in the children to create adrenochrome, which goes straight into the blood.
Right, right. Yes,
and
I thank
exactly
you for bringing that out. Mm-hmm. Yes, and that's where a lot of our fear is, you know. If we can just have a world that is more peaceful, then maybe a lot of that fear will dissipate.
It's coming. Coming.
Yes, I hope so.
And it's interesting too, Gerald, just a little quick piece of information here, that in Maitreya Great Tao, and Maitreya, of course, is the central figure, although Laomu is the Heavenly Mother above him, and he works underneath her. But that whole organization, and they're in 68 countries throughout the world, it's Buddhism, it's Confucianism and Taoism kind of blended, but they, one of their main tenets and doctrines is for everyone to be vegetarian.
Right.
Because they're going for
vegan too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, of course.
They feel like humanity needs to be at a certain level for Maitreya to really do his work. You know what I mean?
Maitreya told us that by 2039, he was going to make sure there was a bill in that we could not kill any more animals for food. You know, these meatless foods that they're putting out, they say aren't too bad, but I don't really try them.
Oh, we don't go for them.
No, but it's a good idea, though. It's a lot less to cultivate, you know, some ground plants rather than taking care of stockyards. We lived near stockyards in Chicago.
Oh, and Gerald, you were talking about...
So did
Babaji.
So did I.
You were talking about Babaji.
Oh, we love Babaji.
And of course, you know, one of his disciples later on was Sri Yukteswar, and Sri Yukteswar wrote a beautiful book. Yeah, I think it was called The Holy Science.
We have it. Yeah. Yes, we have the book.
Where he talks about vegetarianism being very, very important. And he even goes so far as to say what you need to aspire to is to be a frugivore.
Oh, yeah.
where you only eat the fruit of the plant, as opposed to, like, lettuce that gets killed
or
when
potatoes,
you cultivate it.
Or potatoes.
Potatoes, carrots, broccoli,
yeah.
You know, things like that. So
just anything that is actually a fruit. If it has the seeds within it, then it's fruit. Like, tomatoes really aren't fruit.
So he
I'll
goes
tell you, I'll tell you what knowing I've come to just for myself in my own vegetarian and vegan journey is that you actually come to desire more raw foods.
Of course.
It seems logical, but until you've actually experienced the feeling in your own body, and oh, why, my goodness, I don't want that anymore. That's so beautiful. How are we doing for time, Hercules?
We have around 2 minutes before I was going to interrupt and say we should be wrapping up, because I have the closing and some announcements to make at the end.
Sure.
Go ahead. Do you want to do it now? This seems like a good place to stop for now.
Thank you very much for this discussion. It was very illuminating and thought-provoking. How can people find you beyond this program and learn more about what you're doing and what you've done and what you're going to do?
You're talking to Gerald.
To Gerald, yes.
Okay. I just want to
make
sure.
You're the man.
I hope we're all going to give our information. But I'm here at this phone number, 503-835-8480. And, if I don't answer immediately, I'll bring your number up and ring you right back. Also, Gerald T., as in Thomas Farley, at hotmail.com will reach me. Thank you.
Thank you. And Michael and Diane, how can people enter your world and experience all the wonderful things that you're doing?
Well, thank you, Hercules. That's very kind of you. I appreciate it. And Gerald, thank you for having us on your show.
Oh, we thank you so very much.
Thank you so much.
I couldn't be without you guys. Are you kidding?
Oh, well, we love you. We love Hercules. We love Nick. We love you, Gerald.
We're all family.
It's
and
all
you
an
can
effort.
Feel it happening.
It's all an effort for us to shine the light of God, Christ, gods and goddesses. Okay, so we have to enter our world. The best way would be to go to our YouTube channel, which is called Michael and Diane. That's with two N's, Diane Duncan, D-U-N-K-I-N, Michael and Diane Duncan. We have lots of videos regarding the new worldwide religion of love under Gabriel and Aphrodite. We have videos of our celestial encounters with our team meetings, our celestial team meetings. We have songs dedicated to the gods and goddesses and our artwork and things of that nature. So Michael and Diane Duncan for a YouTube channel, and also you can see, download or stream our songs. We have your Rancho Book inspired songs, 5 albums, and that's on Spotify, Amazon, iTunes, and other platforms. You can email us at michaelduncan1@hotmail.com. But if you pray with us every morning to the Father and Mother, afternoon and night, we'll be there with you.
Thank you very much. I have some announcements to make as well. Our Hercules and the Space God programs are expanding. I will give a brief overview. I sent all of you an email that has this information in there and more. We have Michael's Cosmic Mission with Gerald T. Farley on the first Tuesday of each month. We have E.T. Universal Zone with Phyllis and Mark Brinkerhoff on the first Friday of each month. We have Star Center Olympus, the Unarian Revelations, on the second Friday of each month. We have the Worldwide Religion of Love with Michael and Diane Duncan on the fourth Friday. We have Nick Curto Presents the Urantia Book on the fourth Saturday of each month. We have Ancient Mediterranean Myths and Mysteries on the fifth Saturday of each month with Nick Curto and Mary Jo Fahey. We have recurring special, our Star Center Olympus Cosmic Conference, which focuses on universal love, or Aphrodite Urania, as we know her in Greek. Then we have Hercules and the Space Gods and the Relationship to UFOs Today, which is an article that you can Google on Spectrovision. And although there are some inaccuracies in this article, it's generally correct, the information. We have a Facebook group called Hercules and the Space Gods, and soon you're going to see a lot of activity there. And we also have on YouTube Hercules and the Space Gods, the UFO Entity Enigma, which is a crossover. Some of the folks who are on this side of things with cosmic spirituality are also participating in that as well. And we have coming soon, this is in the next couple of months, we're going to have Star Center Olympus, the Motha Chronicles, Star Center Olympus, the Olympian Star Seeds Initiative, Star Center Olympus, Healing Haven under Hilarion, Star Center Olympus, the Mark Age Revelations, and we're going to have the Living Legacy of Timothy Green Beckley. And I also put out an invitation, a call to adventure. If you're on a cosmic path and would like to share your unique or collective celestial journey, please PM me or comment in the thread below. I put this on Facebook, and I'll be putting it in other places. So what we're doing is expanding exponentially, and we'll be able to get a lot more voices in this conversation that we started, and hopefully things can start manifesting a bit quicker.
Oh, and this That's is so your exciting. Part in trying to bring about a better world of truth. Thank you, Hercules.
Thank you. And thanks again to everybody who joined us, whether in the conversation or listening to the conversation later on. I'm Hercules Invictus of the Olympian Arcanate. The Olympian Arcanate supports all of humanity's efforts to evolve, to transcend this world, and to venture forth into the great beyond, be it metaphysical, mechanical, or even imaginal. Hercules and the Space Gods will return this Friday with ET Universal Zone with Mark and Phyllis Brinkerhoff. Until then, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. Thanks again. And thanks again, Gerald. Thanks again, Michael. Thanks again, Diane. You're awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gerald. Thank you, Hercules. God
bless.
Love
you all.
Love you, too.
God bless the
and
world.
And we'll close with Michael's God Bless the World in the couple of minutes that we have remaining.
Oh, you got it. Oh, nice.
God bless the world, God bless the world, God bless the world, God bless the world. God bless the world, 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 God bless the world. God bless the world, God bless the world. May God bless us all. God bless the world, God bless the world, God bless the world, God bless the world.
Dear Lord, shine your face upon us and bless us, every one of us.
God bless the world. the world.